Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to the Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conlin, and I put this episode together a bit last minute this week because the podcast scheduling for this week was a little bit thrown off, just a bit, hence the Tuesday and Thursday scheduling instead of Monday and Friday, but next week it'll be back to normal. And I can give you some details, and maybe some of you heard the episode that I had up, but then I took it down, or maybe some of you follow me on X, so you know the deal. But Celine and I, the outlier researcher and writer, we wanted to do an episode covering the suspicious and tragic death of the 1923 actor Cole Brings Plenty. So he was an Indigenous man and, again, also a public figure. And he was found dead in the woods after going missing for almost a week in early April. And police had stated no foul play was indicated in his death. And I found that to be very odd, and a majority of others do as well, especially considering that he had a sister that died in the same tragic and suspicious manner in August of 2023. So there were a few articles out there and about Cole, and one was this horrible Daily Mail article that really seemed to paint him in a negative light, and I just didn't even think he deserved that at all. I did not even bring that article up in my episode. So Celine and I were like, we want to honor him, his heritage, and just put this story out there that we need to pay more attention to the deaths and the missing in the Indigenous community. They are swept under the rug all too often, and it's just infuriating. So one of his aunts actually commented on something that I wrote on Facebook to her, and I just said, I'm so sorry to hear about your nephew Cole. And truly, he seemed like such a wonderful person. Like, sometimes you can look at someone and you can look into their eyes and you can see their smile and you can just see that they are genuine and they are a good spirit. And that seemed like it was Cole. So she wrote back, hey, I want to talk to you. My inbox is open. And she was very kind. And we chatted, and she was aware I was going to cover Cole's story. And if you're listening to this podcast, you know that I try to be incredibly sensitive with everything I do, all of the work I do. I work with survivors and people that have had horrible things happen to them in general, and I do work my hardest to be respectful. So again, I felt like some of the YouTube content, along with that Daily Mail article that was put out there, that was just not respectful, and it seemed to have some wrong information, and it just didn't seem right for me not to cover this case based on what I cover in general. I mean, it seemed like I was really meant to do this, and the fact that he was a public figure and had so many fans. But that was not the case. I was met with some things that I did not expect when I put the episode out, and it was a lot of hate online from individuals who stated that I, quote, did not have permission from Cole's family to do an episode on him. And yes, the episode was about Cole and his horrible and untimely death, but again, it was also about bringing justice forth to the Indigenous community. And as I mentioned, Cole was a public figure. He was a beloved actor on the show 1923. So people are wondering about why no one's talking about his death. And I did speak to an aunt, and I do have those receipts. However, these people online, they said I was expected to get permission from his father, Joseph. And I would never, ever want to add to anyone's grief. Oh my gosh. But I was very shocked at the viciousness of some of these people going on my Facebook accounts, my podcast, my Twitter, and just ripping me apart, claiming that I don't respect grieving families. And of course I do, which is why I wanted to spotlight Cole and bring attention to him. And I'm not certain where the narrative came from that I was speaking, quote unquote, for his family, because I feel like that's where people got upset, saying, you don't have permission to speak for this family. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no. I am speaking for myself. This podcast is hosted by me, Lauren Conlin, where I speak for myself. In part of the podcast, and even in the title, I did state his family needs answers, which they do. They've publicly stated on different platforms and even articles that I sourced that they are working to find answers and they are conducting an investigation. So I didn't realize that me saying that was speaking for the family, but if it did come across that way, I am beyond sorry. I was also told that I was using my white privilege to take advantage of the situation, and I had white savior complex, and that hurt my feelings a bit, bringing my race into it, coming from people that did not know me. But of course, I can understand that many of them are hurting very, very badly. Of course I can understand that, but I've never thought of myself as a quote unquote white savior of any kind. And the people out there that have stated, oh, and this is pertaining to this case, I got some comments, you're doing this for clicks and views. And I'm like, well, I'm an audio podcast, and so many listeners have said, hey, can you put this story on YouTube so we can watch, and can you do a live? And I'm like, I don't think that's for me. I'm not going that route yet, although I am fully aware that that is definitely what makes money, going live and getting views. And I do put interviews on YouTube after the fact, but this is just not a priority for me. I do the audio so I can re-record certain clips if I think I didn't get the facts 100% right. And yeah, it's not for me to go on YouTube. So I don't love when I get accused of doing stuff for clicks and views and everything. Because look, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Podcasting, for me anyway, I'm not Joe Rogan. I'm not Crime Junkie. It's definitely not making me rich. So after the fact, after all of this, of course, I felt horrible. I was like, oh my gosh, this was definitely not my intention. And I did end up archiving the podcast because of his father. I did not want to disrespect his father in any type of way. I can handle trolls. I really can. They bother me for maybe an hour and then I move on. I mean, I am a human being. But yeah, so later that day, I hastily tweeted about taking the podcast down because I was a little stressed. There was hate coming from all directions, and I'm always on the go. I'm working, then I'm grabbing my kids, and then I'm doing this, taking them to a class. So, you know when you get something in your head and you know it's wrong, but you absentmindedly just have it in your head? Like, for example, one of my kids' friends, I know their freaking name, but they look like they should be a Stephanie instead of a Tara. Anytime I see their face in my head, I'm like, it's Stephanie. And then one day I'm like, hey, Stephanie, knowing that their name is Tara. No, those aren't real names, just an example. But This happened to me during this Twitter post, and I know that Cole was part of the Cheyenne River Sioux tribe. And when I was writing this script, I kept looking at the word Cheyenne like it was Cherokee for some reason. So I was scrambling to write this Twitter post on the episode being down, and I wrote Cherokee instead of Cheyenne River Sioux. And it took all of 1 second for someone to screenshot it, put it in a group, and then really come at me. And I had corrected it at that point, like very shortly after posting it, but the attacks were already imminent. And look, I cover a lot of cases on this podcast, and my intention was truly to bring light to Cole because I thought he deserved it. But again, I would never want to upset a grieving family. Oh my gosh, never, ever, ever. So when I heard that his father wasn't okay with it, I absolutely archived the episode. But again, I had no idea what was in store for me when publishing that episode and wanting to cover it. And my heart goes out to his family. I hope they get answers and justice. I don't think that when this case unfolds further, they would want me to cover it. So I don't think I will be. But I am still proud of the research that we did on the case, and I was proud to speak of Cole in a positive light. And his father, Joseph, and all of his immediate family, they are in my prayers. And again, I hope they find justice and are at peace. And okay, that was my State of the Union. Let's move on to some news. Dan Schneider, who was the showrunner for Nickelodeon, and allegedly he's worth $40 million. He developed shows like All That, The Amanda Show, Drake and Josh, iCarly, and if you watched Quiet on Set, you'll see that he was a complete turd to people and employees, for lack of a better word. The stories that his writing team told about him were just horrible. He was a horrible person to work with, hands down. I mean, he made female writers split a salary. He wrote characters for children with sexual innuendos in the name, like a character for Amanda Bynes was called Penelope Taint. I mean, that's weird, Dan. That's not funny at all. These kids are 9. And I mean, there is so much more about this guy. He even helped Amanda Bynes try to emancipate herself from her parents as a teenager, and look how that turned out. So I've done a few podcasts about this documentary. I interviewed the two directors, Emma Schwartz and Mary Robertson, and I even interviewed Donkey Lips. His name is Michael Bauer, and he played Donkey Lips on Salute Your Shorts, but he also had an experience with convicted pedophile Brian Peck that he told me about. If you haven't heard that, you got to go back and listen. But when the docuseries aired, or after, I should say, Dan Schneider actually did a YouTube video, an apology video, with adult Nickelodeon actor Boogie. And I've linked that full apology out in the episode notes. It's about 20 minutes. But I'm going to play you a clip from my TikTok where I put something together from his apology. And Boogie asks him about asking people on set for massages. And yes, that's something that Dan did. He made his employees give massages, which is so cringy and gross. And then I go into part of my interview with Emma Schwartz and Mary Robertson, where they are just talking about some really gross things that happened on these sets. So I'll play that TikTok right now.
And giving me the opportunity to talk to you about what we saw over the last 2 nights.
I'm really glad you're here because I believe this is important.
For sure.
We've got a lot of things to unpack. But before I dive into my list of topics that I'd like to discuss, is there anything you'd like to start off with?
Absolutely. Watching over the past 2 nights was very difficult, me facing my past behaviors, some of which are embarrassing and that I regret, and I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology.
Let's talk about the massages.
Okay.
Watching the content yesterday, it was disturbing.
It was wrong. It was wrong that I ever put anybody in that position. It was the wrong thing to do. I'd never do it today. I'm embarrassed that I did it then. I apologize to anybody that I ever put in that situation. And even additionally, I apologize to the people who were walking around Video Village or wherever they happened, because there were lots of people there who witnessed it who also may have felt uncomfortable. So I owe them an apology as well.
Yeah. Dan, talk to me about the writer's room. From what I saw, not cool.
No, and I don't mean to cut you off, but if I can cut right to the chase, let me just say, no writer should ever feel uncomfortable in any writer's room, ever, period, the end, no excuse.
Many of those clips you saw behavior that was arguably sexual in nature, Ariana Grande on the side of a bed pouring water on her face, a young teen receiving a squirt of a viscous liquid on her face. And many online were speculating as to the conditions under which these were made. And we thought that was a legitimate line of questioning at our own curiosity and interest. And I think saw it as not a frivolous question, but a really meaningful question, and one that could sort of excavate and unearth a lot more. We then saw the reporting by Kate Taylor in Business Insider. And she was able to advance the understanding on some of what was happening on Schneider's sets. She worked with close to a dozen, mostly anonymous sources.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Okay, that was disturbing, and sorry, it was a bit hard to hear, but you heard it. He apologized. He admitted wrongdoing. So now for the big news. He announced and filed a lawsuit on Wednesday, May 1st. He is suing the producers and Warner Brothers and Discovery and Sony Pictures, and the producers, their company is Maxine Productions. He's suing them for defamation. So Dan Schneider told the LA Times, quote, "After seeing Quiet on Set and its trailer and the reactions to them, I sadly have no choice but to take legal action against the people behind it. In their successful attempt to mislead viewers and increase ratings, they went beyond reporting the truth and falsely implied that I was involved or facilitated horrific crimes in which actual child predators have been prosecuted and convicted." End quote. Okay, so wouldn't that be something to bring up on the YouTube video if it upset you that much? I mean, that is so crazy, but I'm going to read you a quick portion from the LA Times, also linked out in the notes, because I cannot find the court filing. I don't think it's public yet. So I'm going to read this. Quote, "Schneider's suit, filed in Los Angeles County Superior Court on Wednesday, revolves around several episodes of Quiet on Set and the trailer shared in February to promote the five-part docuseries. He alleges that the studios and co-defendants, directors Mary Robertson and Emma Schwartz, falsely imply in the docuseries that he sexually abused the children who worked on his television shows. Schneider dismissed the allegations as fabrications," end quote. Okay, I do not think that this show implied that he abused kids at all. I watched it. I interviewed the directors. I mean, yes, he definitely hired these pedophiles and he's claiming he didn't know, But yeah, that would definitely be something to address in your original apology video. And if I had to speculate, I'd say Dan Schneider knows he is finished in Hollywood, and this has to be some kind of last-ditch effort to get money for a possible retirement, because at this point, I don't think he has a choice. Okay, let's get to some crime here. So the Karen Reed murder trial did begin Monday, April 29th, after jury selection took almost 2 weeks, and I do plan on discussing the trial thus far, but I'm going to do it on an upcoming episode with a special guest who is a homicide prosecutor. So I will definitely be discussing the trial next week. And I've already given some thoughts on X or Twitter. So if you have an account, you can see some of my thoughts from some of the witnesses interviewed this week. But I'm not going to give a recap on the case or anything on this episode. If you are unaware of the Karen Reed murder case, she is accused of killing her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. I have a number of episodes on that. It's so tragic. So if you are unaware about the details of that case, you can go back and listen. So I'm going to talk about another terrible trial that began this week out of New Jersey, and this is the Christopher Greger murder trial. Christopher Greger, he has been accused of being responsible for the death of his six-year-old child, Corey Micciolo, in 2021. And if convicted, he could face life in prison. And Corey Micciolo looked so adorable and sweet in all of the pictures I saw. He looked like such a fun little boy. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. I mean, some people in the media are calling this the treadmill murder, and I will explain why. So on March 20th, 2021, Greger brought his son Corey to a fitness center where the small six-year-old was made to run on a treadmill for, quote, being too fat. Look at the pictures of this boy. I mean, he is just so small and so sweet. And the video was recently released, and I'm going to be honest, I cannot watch the whole thing. I can't. I want to hug this boy and make him feel worthy and loved, and it's too much for me to watch. I'm going to be honest. So the video shows them walking up to the treadmill, Corey getting directly on it and running right away. And then Greger can be seen walking up to the treadmill, increasing the speed in incline, causing Corey to fall and slide off the treadmill and hit his head and his chest. And then Greger can be seen forcefully throwing him back onto the treadmill. And then at one point, he appears to viciously bite his head as some sort of punishment. And sorry, I literally get choked up talking about this. So the boy, Corey, continues to fall and struggle, which seems to anger Greger further as he increases the speed and the incline again and again. And so obviously the fitness center's security footage captured this horrific incident on their cameras. And like I said, the video's out there on the internet. I cannot watch the whole thing. And Greger's lawyer, his defense attorney, even stated to the jury, when you see that video, you're going to be horrified and you're going to be mortified. So Corey's mother, Brianna, now they are not together, Christopher Greger and Brianna Micciolo, she reported his injuries after seeing bruises a few days later to Child Protective Services and was working to get sole custody. And it was only at this meeting that they had with the Child Protective Services that Corey told them what happened on the treadmill. And he was very nervous in telling them. He even said, please don't tell anyone that I told you. And it's just, it's so tragic. So on April 1st, Brianna finds out she was denied sole custody. And I'll get into that. But Corey even went to a pediatrician on April 1st. And they said, besides bruising, everything appears to be okay with him. But then on April 2nd, Corey woke up at his dad's house and he was slurring and nauseous, unable to walk, essentially, had shortness of breath. And this is after he woke up after an afternoon nap. So his dad took him to the hospital, Christopher Greger, and during a CT scan, he suffered a seizure and he tragically passed away. The autopsy reports show that he passed away from blunt force injuries with cardiac and liver contusions, acute inflammation, and sepsis. Now, Inside Edition, who had the probable cause affidavit, stated that upon learning the news of his son's death, Greger got into his car and left the state. So this is 2021. This is April of 2021. So in March of 2022, the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office announced they would be charging and arresting Christopher Greger with murder. And he was indicted by a grand jury in July. And don't worry, I'm going to go back and give context about the sepsis and about other things that will make a lot more sense. So the prosecutor's office stated, quote, "On March 3rd, 2022, the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office received a report from the state's expert witness, which indicated that Corey died as a result of blunt force impact of the chest and abdomen, and determined the manner of the child's death to be a homicide. An extensive investigation conducted by the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office Major Crime Unit and Ocean County Sheriff's Office and the Crime Scene Investigation Unit revealed that Corey was in the custody of Greger at the time he sustained his life-ending injuries and that Greger is the individual responsible for the child's death," end quote. So Corey's mother, Brianna, had been emailing DCPP since literally 2020 about Corey having bruises and how he was afraid of his father. And again, he didn't even want to tell the caseworker about the treadmill. He made them promise not to tell anyone. It's just, it's so sad. And this is where it gets pretty bad. DCPP did not substantiate any of Brianna's abuse claims until after Corey had passed away. And listen, there were quite a few claims. So Brianna has now filed a wrongful death suit against the state of New Jersey and the DCPP, and I'm going to read to you an email she wrote to them in April of 2020. The email states, "I talked to someone on Friday about my son being abused and no one continuing to investigate it. He's gotten abused once again and I found out about it yesterday. Many reports are made and nothing has been done. It's a bruise very similar to the one made in December by his father. My family documented the bruise and my son said he was hit at his father's household. We fear that he needs medical attention because I was told he seems like he was in pain and having trouble doing anything like running or moving too much. Is someone going to do something about this abuse or are we going to allow his father to continue to hurt him? I have pictures of injuries that began in September, which is when his father came into his life. Please get back to me. Thank you." End quote. And let me provide some context here. So, Brianna doesn't have the cleanest past. She was formerly addicted to drugs and she did lose custody of Corey at one point. And she claims that the way Corey was brought into this world was because Greger assaulted her. So when Brianna speaks about family members having Corey, she means her sister. Corey spent a lot of time with her sister. And again, he spent time at Christopher Greger's house because he was his father. And it was Brianna's mother who said, "Listen, if you know who the father is, you got to get child support. Let him have custody or 50-50 and let him be a part of his life." So this is where it just gets so tragic because as soon as he came into his life, this is when Corey started having bruises. And at one point, this affidavit states that Greger kicked a football directly into Corey's face, causing major bleeding and injuries. And I believe he was 4 or 5 years old at the time. And again, I will post a part of this affidavit because it's so, so tragic. I know I say that probably way too often, the word tragic, but it is. So the defense here and where sepsis comes in. Greger's attorney, Mario Gallucci, He's stating defense experts will testify that Corey died of sepsis only caused by a bout of pneumonia. Gallucci told the jury that Brianna signed her son out of a hospital against medical advice when they told her he might have sepsis. So I am not certain when Corey had pneumonia. I'm working on getting that date. But what's so odd and just doesn't help Brianna or this case at all in terms of Corey getting justice is that she admitted during a cross-examination that she and some friends vandalized the home of Gregor's parents after her son died. They threw eggs and apparently dead goldfish. And she actually corrected Gallucci and said, no, the fish were from a grocery store. I mean, I was like, wait, what? That is so odd. And it also doesn't help that it was revealed during the trial that she did text her boyfriend at the time on the day that Corey died that she wanted him to get her some meth. And she admitted to this. She said, yeah, I was very upset when my son died. So she wanted to get meth. So yeah, that just does not bode well. Again, it's not like she is guilty of hurting her son, but it just makes Christopher Gregor look better than he should look. So that sweet, sweet child, Corey Micciolo, was just failed. He was completely failed, and he deserves justice. So I'll be covering this case further with the homicide prosecutor I plan on having as a guest as well. And hopefully Corey will get the justice that he deserves. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you like this podcast, don't forget to rate and subscribe on Apple. I'm Lauren Conlin. Thanks for listening.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.